Welcome to the Mindset Matters podcast, where we dive deep into the world of mindset, entrepreneurship, and real estate. Your host is RJ DeLeon. Whether you're a seasoned business owner, an aspiring entrepreneur, or looking to level up your mindset, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, knowledge, and actionable strategies. Tune in.
A ship in harbor is safe, but then again, that's not what boats are made for. What an amazing quote that goes hand in hand with real estate investing. That is by John A. Shedd, brought to us by Kirby Atwell, who is our next guest. So as always, guys, thanks for tuning in. This is Mindset Matters with RJ DeLeon, where we talk about the mindset shifts you have to make to be an entrepreneur, a real estate investor, or just overall business-minded and taking that leap to your passions. So without further ado, let's welcome on Kirby. Kirby, what's going on?
Hey, RJ, it's awesome to be here. I really appreciate the invite. Looking forward to sharing my story and lessons learned, and hopefully it'll resonate for some people.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you as well. This is funny, since Kirby and I have known each other for a long time on social media. Before the episode, I kept wanting to ask him questions because we're still getting to know each other, but I'm really interested. Can you give the audience a little rundown of your history and what do you have going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from the Chicago area. That's where you're at as well. Grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, south suburbs. And after high school, I knew I wanted to do two things. I knew I was very entrepreneurial. I could see my mom owned an insurance brokerage. And so I kind of had the rich dad, poor dad experience a little bit, seeing what an entrepreneur could do, you know, because it was eat what you kill for her. And then my dad worked for the Park District. He was the director of the Glen Ellen Park District. And so he had a very fixed salary, which was great. You know, it was really good in the household to have both. But it really, my mom's business really resonated with me. So I knew I was going to eventually go the entrepreneurial route. But I also knew that I wanted to serve in the military because many of the men in our family going back into history have served in the military, and it just really spoke to me. So I decided I wanted to go to West Point after high school. So somehow snuck in the back door because I did not have the qualifications to get in and went to West Point. And when I graduated, I had a 5-year commitment as a military officer. And so I ended up staying in the Army for 6 years, actually, and then got out in 2011. But while I was in the Army, I picked up the book, like so many people do, as the gateway drug into real estate investing. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad right after graduating from school. And I was like, okay, I had kind of like the desire to get into entrepreneurship, but I didn't know what that was going to look like. And then I read that book and I was like, all right, real estate, even though it's not a real estate book technically, but real estate is what spoke to me. I was like, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And so after that, it was just a ton of self-study. And then I got out in 2011 and moved back to the Chicago area and just hit the ground running with real estate investing. I moved back from Japan. I was stationed in Japan, and I moved back home on like a Wednesday, and I already had an appointment that I had set up from Japan with a realtor in Chicago to start seeing properties on Thursday. So I was more than ambitious to get started with real estate investing. And so that's kind of how my journey got started.
That's terrific. I like the consistency in your story, is that once you learned that you wanted to be an entrepreneur, you created a plan and you stayed consistent. So maybe you didn't know what your passion was or what that was going to be, but after you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you created a plan. And again, mm-hmm. you stayed consistent. When you were back from Japan, you already had an appointment set up. So yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things that a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs don't realize, because there will be a lack of excitement after it wears off, after you run into a bump or an obstacle. you know, that excitement wears away. So can you tell us a little bit? Well, also, I want to thank you for your service. You're a West Point graduate and you were in the military. So there had to be a lot of mindset shifts that you made there. So
absolutely.
Can you tell the audience a little bit about your journey there? Like, how did you know and what did you do when it came to real estate? When you're in Japan, how did you keep that needle moving forward?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. So to your point, what you just mentioned, consistency, I think I've thought a lot about like what kind of leads to success. I've got my own podcast and I've interviewed about 140 different people who are all really successful real estate investors. And I think consistency is totally underrated and one of the top qualities that I think has, you know, I personally have no skills or unique talent that's like above and beyond that's got me, you know, ahead in life by any means. I'm just really consistent and I will put my head down and I'll work toward a goal consistently day after day. And sometimes to a fault, maybe I should pivot a little bit more earlier. But it's paid off in spades over time because that's been the key for me. And so going back, I mean, that's, again, that was a key for me throughout West Point, throughout the military. There was a lot of, like you said, there was a lot of trials throughout that time. There's a saying that West Point's a great place to be from, but it's not a great place to be because it sucks. You know, it's designed to suck. Your first year, you know, you can't leave your room without marching. You know, you can't talk outside your room. You have to, you know, greet every upperclassman. You're getting yelled at constantly. Or there's physical trials. You know, so it's just designed to put as much pressure on you as possible, so that later, when you're in a combat situation, you can handle stress. And so that's the idea behind it. So, you know, it's just learning to deal with stress and problem solve. And so that, I think that's been a really helpful aspect as I've moved into business, to kind of fall back on that teaching. And so, yeah, there's a lot of examples there, but I think to your point, consistency, like that, if you're consistent, you're going to run into these turning point moments, I guess, where it's like, you know, where your mindset does shift. But I think people are searching for those without being consistently working toward a goal. And that's, I don't think that's how it works. If you're seeking out, okay, I need to just, you know, this turning point moment that's going to change my mindset, you're probably not going to find it. It's set the goal first, start working toward it. And as you work toward it, you're going to have, you know, discoveries and, you know, things are going to come to light that you just hadn't expected as you started down the path. And so I think that's how it works.
Yeah. There's a few things I want to unpack there. At the beginning of that, you were talking about skill sets. And I want to let the audience know that 99% of us are not born with an inherent ability or skill set. These are all things that you learn along the path, along the journey, which brings us full circle to the end of what you just said there. You know, you're going to run into obstacles that books simply don't teach. So you're not going to be able to learn every single thing that's going to get you ready and prepared for the real world. So yesterday I was saying success is a journey, not a destination. And oftentimes it's because, you know, you just got to get started. You got to get past the analysis paralysis and you got to get out there and start learning, because sometimes, you know, even if the outcome isn't what you expected or wanted, sometimes you make significant impact and you are still successful. So it's all about staying consistent, stay the course, be part of that journey, but also don't forget about your happiness along the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can kind of give you an example of that. You know, when I got out, just to kind of continue on my story too a little bit, I got out in 2011, moved back to Chicago, just thought, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know, basically, about being an entrepreneur and investing in real estate. So I had this vision that I was going to come back, start a company. I didn't need to get a job. I was going to start a company. It's going to start doing deals. You know, I was going to start making a whole bunch of money. It's going to build the company, do all the things myself, you know. And that's not how it happened. You know, I came back. My parents were gracious enough to let me move into their basement while I tried to start my business and go to business school at night. And it took a long time to get going. Yeah. And eventually I did get going with some traction, you know, and my initial idea was I was going to flip houses because I thought that's how people are making a whole bunch of money pretty quick, you know? And so, so I started down that path and I ended up partnering with two good friends of mine, great people. And we started a flipping company. And for the next 5 years, we flipped houses and it started with one. And then we started doing two at a time and three at a time. And we ended up flipping about 70 houses around the Chicagoland area. And then in 2016, 5 years later, I finally had this epiphany moment where I'm sitting there looking at our finances going, this is crazy. Like I'm no better off financially than I was 5 years ago. And yet we'd made millions of dollars in revenue. So I'm going, how is this possible? You know, I thought everyone on stage is telling you at these conferences that flipping houses is a way to become rich, you know? And so what I realized is that we had made a whole bunch of money, but our company kept sucking all that money back into it because we thought growth is what we needed. So our solution, when we did one flip, we're like, okay, we made a little bit of money, but we really need to do two deals at the same time and then three deals. And as we did that, we're like, okay, now we got to hire project managers. We got to hire people to answer the phones. We got to send out, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of marketing. We got to get an office. We got to, you know, and so we created this huge treadmill machine that we were stuck on and we had no assets. So, you know, we kept making money just enough to survive on and be in the exact same place. And so that's when I had this turning point moment where I realized, okay, this is not sustainable. This is not the path I want to continue down. What I really need is assets that are going to provide the freedom that I'm after, not, you know, continue to chase what seems like success would look like. And so I never would have got there had I not gone through those first 5 years. So I'm grateful I did. And I learned so many lessons along the way. But again, it was just about consistently, you know, working, putting one step in front of each other. And then you hit one of these kind of turning point moments where you have a realization and that allows you to pivot into something that's a lot more successful.
Yeah. Great. So many things come to mind. You know, if you're like any highly motivated individual, that target's going to consistently shift and move. And you're finding that in your own business, that you had a little bit of success, let's reinvest, get bigger, 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 until finally you realize you don't have the assets. Your balance sheet isn't where you wanted it to be, because although you're making a lot of that income, it's all transactional. And that's exactly where we transition into the long-term rentals, the Airbnbs, short-term rentals, medium-term rentals, which you made a pivot. So before we jump into that, because I'm very interested to hear, you have an awesome and amazing background, which the audience needs to hear. The one thing that I want to say is congratulations on your 10-year overnight success, right? Because that's a saying of among entrepreneurs that we all laugh about, because when it comes to social media and when it comes to the outside view and perspective, a lot of people see people in glorified positions and they think they got there so fast. Even when I tell stories about how long it took them, you know, people are like, how did they scale so fast? I'm like, well, the story I just told you, it took them 10 years. I don't know, you know, like you got to have patience throughout the journey. So Thank you for sharing that amazing story. Let's jump into where you're at now. So you realized balance sheet wasn't as robust as you wanted it to be. So are you in long term? I know you're in Airbnbs. Tell us a little bit about your portfolio and your experience there.
Yeah. I appreciate that. So in 2016, kind of had this epiphany moment where knew we needed to change the business model. And I'd just been married in 2015. So my wife and I sat down and we started, you know, talking about what success looked like to us. And I didn't really understand it at the time, but until, you know, later on, I started to realize what we were starting to piece together, I guess. And I'm always curious to hear other people's versions of success and their definitions of success. But for me, I'm a big Ryan Holiday fan. He's a studier of the ancient Stoic philosophy and has written a lot of books on it. But his definition of success is autonomy. And I heard him say that one time and it really resonated with me. But I thought, okay, you know, autonomy makes a lot of sense because there's so many other components that play into autonomy, which means basically controlling your schedule. If you have complete control of your schedule, that's his version of success, which is true to a degree, I think. But then in addition to that, for me, it's also impact. So it's autonomy and impact. So that's, you know, because I don't want to just get to a point where you're totally free and you can sit on a beach. Like what's the point of life then? You know, I think, how do you then create a much larger impact for your family, for your community, for others? So that's what we started to get more clear on. And it was a process. It wasn't like we just said, okay, it's, you know, autonomy and impact. We're going to move forward with that. But we started to get clear on what do we want our life to look like day to day? And so that we use that to kind of backwards plan from. And so a big component of that was financial freedom. It was, you know, getting to a place where we could have the autonomy. Because I'd gone back to work as a CFO of a nonprofit. And, you know, it was a lot of time. We're starting to have kids too. So we first started investing in long-term rentals around the Chicagoland area, south suburbs, high cash flowing, a lot of rentals that we rented to homeless vets through this VASH voucher program, very similar to a Section 8 voucher, but it was designed for homeless vets through the VA. And it worked great. The cash flow was good. But I realized with long-term rentals, it was going to take a lot of them to get to a point to replace our income. And so in 2017, we moved over to Northwest Indiana and we had this unfinished walkout basement. And we thought, you know, let's just try this Airbnb thing that we keep hearing about. You know, let's put $30,000 into turning our basement into a separate one-bedroom apartment. And let's just see what happens. And that first summer, we made $22,000 in the first summer and on this tiny little one-bedroom apartment in our basement. And I owned 26 long-term rentals at the time. And I'm going, man, most of them don't make 22 grand in a year. You know, and we just did it on, and that's on a whole house. So I thought, okay, if we can scale this, there's something to it. And so I started looking around and realized the town right next door, Michigan City, Indiana, was just a perfect place in my opinion, because the properties were super affordable, but there was still a lot of draws there. And so the nightly rate the same house would rent for 3-4 times as much on Airbnb as it would as a long-term rental. So we decided to move there into that market and start building a portfolio of Airbnbs.
Wow. That's great. So this is something I want the audience to think about. When you're thinking about what you want in life, sometimes you got to think past the monetary. Think past the financial aspects of it. You know, because once you're a cog in the wheel, it's really, really hard to slow down. And that's what I heard Kirby and his wife did before they started the venture, the B&Bs. You know, they sat down, they really tried to understand what are their true whys beyond finances. So that oftentimes will allow you to get very clear on your goals, and you'll find that money isn't the problem solver all the time, right? But I did want to extrapolate that out of that message because a lot of people don't realize, and when I talk to a lot of new investors, they always talk about the financial aspect, how many doors, how much income, want to replace my W-2. Yeah. And they forget about, you know, what makes them happy, the intrinsic values, and then really what are you going to do with your time once you make all that financial freedom you're talking about.
Exactly.
Because like you said, you know, once you have all the money in the world, what are you going to do? Sit on the beach? Where's your impact? Where's your value to the world?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and there's so many people I know that are high income earners that are absolutely miserable. I work with a lot of them, and because I've got a program where I walk people through getting their first vacation rental. And many of the people in that program work for some of the top companies in the world, you know, some really big companies that are making a ton of money, and they have no control, no autonomy whatsoever. If they don't show up at a high level every single day, their life could fall apart. Yeah. And so they've kind of backed themselves into a corner. And so you got to be super intentional about exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. I like that aspect too, the autonomy. So the ability to be able to work on your own schedule, take control of your schedule, that's really and ideally what all of us entrepreneurs want. But a lot of times it manifests itself out of finances and monetary compensation, which means by the time you get to that point, you really have to slow down, back off, and then rethink about your life, because oftentimes it's too late. You got to stop the machine, which nobody ever wants to do, for you to actually make yourself happy and then reconfigure your life again in the manner that you'd like to see it. So one thing that I did hear about Kirby before before we jumped on this podcast is this 45 acres of farmland. I want to hear about this. Tell us your idea, your plans, your goals. Where are you going in the future, basically, is where I'm taking it. If you want to go down that path, sure, go ahead. But if not, we really want to hear, like, what's in the future for you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Again, this the where we live now, we live on a 45-acre farm, and this was a part of vision setting, you know, how we want to spend our days, how we want to live our life. And so it started with just moving over to Northwest Indiana from Chicago. That's something that we liked the lifestyle over here better, a little more tax friendly, and there's some other advantages that came with it. But we moved over here first, close to Lake Michigan, which we love. But we had no yard in our initial house because it was right near the lake, and we started having kids. And so as we're talking through our goals and how we want to live our life, we realized, you know, this isn't it. We want to have more space for us. Also, we want to expand our vacation rental company. So we started building the portfolio in Michigan City with very cookie cutter type houses that, you know, you could get cash flowing fairly quickly. And we built up a portfolio of, you know, my goal was to get 8 of them before I left my full-time job. And that would be, I'd feel more than comfortable leaving my full-time job. And so we got to that point and I left my full-time job. And then we moved over here and bought the farm, which hadn't been lived in 15 years, all overgrown, with the idea that we'll fix it all up. We'll put some Airbnbs here. We'll develop the land and put some cabins or A-frames or Airstreams on the property. And so that's kind of the next phase, but we got the house all rehabbed. We rent that out on Airbnb when we leave sometimes for the weekend. And then we've got a barn B&B in the back, a barn that we converted into a pretty cool Airbnb that stays pretty consistently booked up. So we love it. But again, it was not like we just happened to land on a 45-acre farm, that it was really super intentional and, you know, years of kind of planning and backwards planning the steps to kind of get into this lifestyle that we're living now.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Often I say a vision, a plan, a goal, and perseverance equals success. So I think we had hit on that a little bit earlier, where everybody's definition of success is different. So stop trying to play to what social media or what everybody says is success and happiness. Because as you can see here, a consistent message that Kirby has said multiple times now is there's been a lot of points of self-reflection. Where do they want to go? Taking it slow and really figuring out what's going to make them happy. So more space. Then they created a plan and they've achieved their goals. So I want to say, you're happy. Are you happy?
You're
successful. Yeah.
We wake up every day and we're like, we just are so blessed to be able to live the lifestyle that we're living now, where we have the autonomy and we can spend a lot of time with our family. And then we can also make an impact on others by sharing what our story and what we're doing.
Yeah, that's great. Really want to thank you for sharing that story. And along this whole journey, I do want to let everybody know that we're talking about the outcomes. There are still so many nuances to the journey that Kirby's had. You know, I could imagine a barn or a home hasn't been lived in for 15 years. So you could probably tell us some horror stories when it comes to that as well, right? Everything always comes in over budget, not on time. There's a lot of bumps and bruises, a lot of obstacles. So you have to keep your head up, stay positive, keep it moving forward, which brings me to the next question. How has your mindset shifted and how do you stay motivated?
Yeah, it's shifted a lot. There's been a lot of turning points throughout West Point, the military, and business. I would say one of the biggest things was, you know, kind of what I talked about in 2016, when we had this realization, where the main thing that I recommend to people is to identify very clearly, again, what you want your life, your days to look like 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Because that's the most important thing. You can, like you said, that a lot of people will say, well, I want 100 doors or I want, you know, $1 million. And it's like, then you ask the question, why? And it's like, whoa, because I mean, it sounds cool. I don't know. I want to tell my friends I have 100 doors, you know, or say I'm a millionaire. And it's like, well, are you going to be any happier? Is your life going to suck when you get there? Because it very well could if you do it the wrong way, or if you're not super clear on what it looks like once you reach that destination. So that's the most important thing, how you want to spend your days, and then backwards plan from there. There's a lot of decisions that we make. One of the key benefits of this is that it allows you to make decisions, because every day you're confronted with opportunities or just decisions in general. And so how do you know which one to pursue if you're not clear on the exact outcome that you are after? Once you are, then we've turned down money-making opportunities quite a bit, because they just don't align with our values and what we want our days to look like. We know it's going to add a lot more time, a lot more stress, a lot more. It doesn't align with our vision. And so being clear on what that vision is the first component. And I could have saved myself 5 years, you know, doing the wrong strategy had I been clear on that up front. And I think a lot of people are finding themselves in that place.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So for everybody listening, I think we could really summarize this podcast as you need clarity. You need to be persistent. Do your due diligence, but getting out there and the act of doing is going to be greater for you, a greater learning experience, because you simply can't learn everything through books. So also along your journey, you got to stop and self-reflect. Be super clear on that vision and on your goals. Because if it's just about the financial and you get there, you're going to be no more happier than you were before you started the journey. In fact, you might even look back and say, this wasn't even worth it.
Yeah. I was actually happier back then. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like now look at all this stuff I have to deal with. So that's really an entrepreneur's journey, guys. You just a lot of self-reflection, a lot of persistence, and just a lot of clarity on and just being clear and honest with yourself. What do you really want? Look past monetary, look past the financial aspects, think about your happiness. Because a lot of times you'll find the things that make you truly happy, you don't need all the money in the world to be really happy. So it's about taking a step back and being thankful for what you have.
Absolutely. So
thank you very much for all of this, Kirby. It's been such a pleasure. I have so many questions. I feel like I was all over the place because I was like, ooh, I want to learn about that. And I want to learn about this. Yeah. But, you know, the hopes is that we could build a stronger relationship here. So I'm going to jump into the fun round. And I don't know if you know we had this.
I didn't.
it's just a handful of questions that are completely random.
Nice.
And I'll start with, what was your favorite childhood food? And would you still eat it today?
That's a great one. Yeah, it was lasagna, I think. And absolutely, I'd eat it today, even though I try not to as much as possible. So it might be one of the worst things you can eat from a waistline perspective, but it's so good.
That's amazing. Was it homemade or was it store-bought? Was it frozen lasagna?
You know, a little bit of all of it, depending on, you know, my parents' schedule. but I love it all. So it's definitely my favorite food.
Great. Where is the one place in the world that you love the most and you will continually visit throughout your lifetime?
That's a great question. I've had the opportunity to visit a lot of places just because of the military, which has been amazing. And I'd say the two that stand out to me the most, I love beaches and I love just, you know, the beach weather. And so I got to go to the islands in Thailand, and then I got to visit the islands in Greece. And both of those are just picture perfect, amazing places. So the second part of the question is, will you continue to visit there regularly? I'd like to. Realistically, right now, it's not real convenient. But we did just book a month stay this winter in Costa Rica. So we're going to take the three kids down there and work and live from there for a month while it's miserable here in Indiana.
That's amazing. See, you guys, everybody out there, even if you have kids, no matter what your circumstances are, you can still make time for the things that make you happy. I'm really happy that you said Thailand. The wife and I went out there for our honeymoon, Thailand and Singapore, and Thailand was great. So,
yeah,
thank you for sharing that. What is one book that you've read multiple times, the most influential book that you've read to date?
There's been different books at different times in my life that have been really influential. Like if I read Rich Dad Poor Dad today, I have actually recently, and it really didn't have the impact. I was like, wow, this really doesn't. I was anticipating this to be like, you know, much. Have a much bigger impact on me again, but it really didn't. So it's got to hit you at the right time. But two books that I've read from the same author that I continue to read over and over are Essentialism and Effortless by Greg McKeown. And they are just awesome books that really help you get back to what we've talked about this whole podcast, what's essential in your life. And then how to turn what you're doing into an effortless modality. I would highly recommend both of those books.
I'm going to add it to the list.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll put it in show notes. So if you could provide that to us afterwards, I want to make sure the audience gets maximum value from that. So the last question here is, what is one thing that you could tell yourself when you were younger that you think may have changed your whole trajectory or, you know, stopped you from a lot of these harsh learning experiences?
Yeah, there's so many. But I would say just based on where I'm at right now, I can talk about kind of a personal growth opportunity recently. My whole life, I've kind of thought of myself as an introvert, you know, and I think probably the majority of people out there consider themselves that way, you know, and that I always said, I'm not a people person, you know, I'm more of just like a solopreneur, putting my head down and getting stuff done. And I think a lot of people can resonate with that feeling. And I kind of felt bad about it because I went to what, you know, a lot of people refer to as one of the top leadership institutions in the world, yet I had no desire to lead people in the version that I thought of leadership. But I've done a lot more discovery about, you know, leadership and working with people recently. And I realize how that's really one of the most important aspects of life, really, is the impact that you're making on others, a positive impact on others in the world. And so if you're not a people person, or you don't identify as a people person, it makes that really difficult. And so I think what I've realized after having started this program where I'm helping people kind of do what we had done to get to financial freedom, I realized that I actually am a people. I love people. I love being around people. But the problem that most people had, the problem that I had, is that I had the wrong framework and I didn't have the right boundaries in place. And so once I got that in place, I've loved being around people. I love working with people, but it's in a very specific framework, because before it was just like I'd let people wear me out, and I had no boundaries. And so now I'm more protective of my time. I can make a much bigger impact. There's 90 people in this program that I'm working with them to change their lives, literally. And before, I never could even comprehend that, you know, because I just thought that would be too overwhelming. I don't like working with people. I don't want to work with that many people. But now I've realized I actually really do, but it's within a framework that's sustainable, scalable, and there's boundaries around my time. And that makes such a huge difference. So for people who might identify as a introvert and can kind of relate to what I'm saying, I would challenge you to kind of look at the framework that you're operating in and decide, is this serving me or do I need to set some different boundaries?
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for that, really. And one of the messages in that I really want to focus in here is, you'll find that a lot of people that are successful, a lot of people that you may emulate to be, not all, but a lot of them, we really care about the impact that we're having throughout the world. You know, at the end of the day, there's an intrinsic motivation for us to help others achieve. And that is why I love the real estate industry, because majority of the folks that I've networked with, that I've spoken to, they're so open and they are available. And as Kirby said, as long as it's within the right framework, the right boundaries, you'll find that you could build relationships and partnerships and gain a lot of value from anybody, really, any of the mentors in the space, anybody that's out there doing things. A lot of investors are timid because, you know, like you said, they are introverts. So they're scared of how to approach conversations. And I just want to let you guys know, Kirby is a perfect example here of how he wants to share his wealth and his knowledge, but just understand sometimes it has to be within the right framework.
So, absolutely.
I really do want you to talk about that program, or at least share links, because we want to help you out. We want the audience to learn about what you're doing and how you're helping others. So can you end with, what's a great way for people to get a hold of you, website, social media, etc. And again, guys, we'll have it in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of going back to the framework, I got super specific about who this is for, because I realized I can't just say I'm going to help everybody and try to come up with a new solution for everyone. I have to decide who I can help the most. And so this program is specifically designed for people who are working a full-time job and they want to go from no passive income to finding, buying, and setting up their first high cash flowing vacation rental. So I put together what I think is the most efficient, very step-by-step path to get to that specific outcome. And it's very outcome-based. It's a personal work with me. And then there's a step-by-step roadmap that people follow to get there. So it's not for, you know, if you want to invest in long-term rentals or you want to flip properties or whatever, like, God bless you. This just isn't for you. But if that's your goal, I think it's a world-class program to get to that goal. And so if people want to find out more, they can go to livingoffrentals.com/start. And that's the best place to get started.
Perfect. livingoffrentals/start.
livingoffrentals.com/start.
Yep. Thank you for sharing your message. You know, this has been an amazing experience, and we hit on a lot of the topics that I always try to tell the guests. And the one thing that we always try to do here is tell this story from a successful entrepreneur standpoint, because you never know how this story is going to resonate with individual people. So thank you very, very much. I'm just going to end here, guys, by saying we do not monetize this show. We do not have any sponsors. Right now, I'm doing this because the intrinsic value that Kirby and I were talking about here, we want to help you along the path of entrepreneurship, real estate, investing, or pursuing passions, whatever that looks like. So I just request that hopefully if you like the show, you subscribe, you follow it, you share it, leave a review, because that goes a lot further than you may think, not just for my own mental stability, but also in the algorithms of the world and helping get the message out there. So yeah. With that,
and I want to say thank you too. Yeah. for doing this. I love this format. I love what you're discussing. It's super, super valuable and important. So thanks for putting it out there.
Thank you. And thanks for being a guest. It takes a lot. A lot of times there's a lot of vulnerability in the show, because we don't always talk about the butterflies and roses. So really appreciate that as well for diving in deep with us. Kirby, it's been an absolute pleasure. Again, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week and stay tuned for further episodes. See ya.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Mindset Matters. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay updated. We'd also appreciate it if you'd leave us a review. Your feedback helps us improve the show. Thank you for being a part of the community, and remember to keep that positive mindset. Until next time.